Sermon number 7 today. And so the title of my message today is this, is The Difference. The Difference. And we want to look at this, Unshaken Faith in the Final Day series, sermon number 7. The title is called The Difference. Now go with me into the New Testament to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, and I'm going to give you a second there to get there. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. Unshaken faith in the final days. Let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And we're going to look at this a little bit, the word hope, and we're going to spend a little time on this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Can I hear amen to God's word? Listen, death can become the most difficult problem that we face. It is not a pleasant subject to think about. Wounds are deep when death takes a loved one. And I know today, as you can look across the building today, you have loved ones that have passed on. And there are some that are still grieving for their loss. It may be a week ago, it could have been a month ago, it could have been a year ago, it could have been 8 years ago, it could have been 10 years ago, but there's grieving that goes on because why? We're human, and when separation takes place, when we are separated from our loved ones, then a mother, father, a sister, a brother, an aunt, an uncle, whatever, it's hard to understand. Sometimes it's hard to cope. Some need counseling, and there's nothing wrong with that. And there's things that come up that we really struggle with when we lose a loved one. Now, if you haven't lost anybody, then you don't understand what I'm saying. But if you have, then you know exactly what I am saying. But today, I want us to look at this passage of Scripture because Jesus gives us living hope, that there is hope in Christ Jesus and that He will continue to sustain us even though we might be absent from an individual, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, an aunt, an uncle, or child, whatever. Jesus still gives us that living hope. And today I want us to look at this a little bit because here in the text, it's about the resurrection of the dead. It's about the return of Christ. And it's contrasting believers and unbelievers in death. I want to say that again. This is a contrast that Jesus clearly lets us know about the believers and the unbelievers in this passage. And you know, I know a lot of ministers don't talk about the coming of the Lord and doesn't talk about a rapture, which the word rapture is not in the Bible, but we know that it's a what it means is a catching away, caught up. And one day that's going to take place because Jesus clearly lets us know in the red letter edition that he's coming back. And so the thing that we must understand as we comfort one another, even through our loss on this earth, be reassured that those that go in Christ will return with Christ and we will reign with Christ. And so we have that living hope. And I want us to look at that today. My first point today is this: the difference between hope and no hope. I want us to look at this. There is a difference between hope and no hope. If you are in Christ, you have living hope. If you are not in Christ, you don't have living hope. You say, well, Pastor, how can I have living hope? How that you can have living hope and know that you're secure in Christ is to accept Him as Lord and Savior and accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life, which gives you the living hope that you and I need. Let's look at this a minute. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Let's look at this passage. But I do not want you to be ignorant. In other words, the Apostle Paul, he writes and lets us know, he said, listen, I don't want you to be distracted. I don't want you to be like you don't know. I don't want it, in other words, when he says don't be ignorant, I don't want you to be surprised. Because he says, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, don't be surprised, lest you sorrow as others that have no hope. Who are the ones that don't have no hope? It's those that are not in Christ Jesus. That's why it's so important that when I even do funerals, and I've done a lot of funerals, I hate to say it, I've done more funerals than I've done weddings. I wish it was the other way around, but it's not that way. But any time that I'm before a body that's before me and before the congregation, I am speaking to the living. I'm not speaking to the dead, because the dead is already gone. The body there is there, but now it's done returned. The body is there in the casket, but guess what? The soul and spirit is now returned back to the Lord. And now all I can do as a minister is I can share the gospel even at a funeral. I have given an altar call, and those that have gone that has had living hope and have had Jesus in their life, they told me, Pastor, give an altar call because I would love to see others come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would give an altar call, yes, right in a funeral, to ask anybody that would like to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Why? Because it gives them living hope. In other words, there's hope. As long as there's air going through your body, as long as your lungs are operating, your heart is pumping, God is still giving you a second chance to accept Him as Lord and Savior in your heart and life, to make that profession of faith. And that is living hope. So when we see the passage of Scripture that I don't want you to be ignorant, ignorant brethren, for those that have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others with no hope, he says, I want to give you that living hope. What hope when a loved one dies? The Bible gives the clear answer. Death brings sorrow for those who remain, but some think that Christians do not sorrow. Christians also grieve. The Bible lets us know, even as Christians, we'll grieve for our loved ones. Jesus grieved. Jesus even wept at the grave of Lazarus. But there is a difference in sorrow felt by Christians. Because as a Christian, you have the living hope. Those that don't accept Jesus Christ in their heart and life and doesn't have that profession of faith to put their faith not in themselves, but the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have living hope. But if they don't, they have no hope. We have hope of better things to come as Christians. Departed Christians are in heaven. Departed Christians are in heaven. If your loved ones made the profession of faith and accepted Jesus Christ into their hearts and life, to be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. Period. To be absent from the body. When you give your last breath, you are present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 says this. Paul writes this, the Apostle Paul. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent, just said it, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's that scripture, 2 Corinthians 5 and 8. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We will see them again. You will see your loved ones again. Those that have living hope and has Jesus Christ in their heart and life. I want you to know today the world has no such hope. You've got people today that has ideas, they have theories, they have opinions. You have people today that, and you've heard me say it, you can quote it, do what they want to do, be what they want to be, go where they want to go. That's a world we live in. A world that has no hope. Where does our hope lie? Where is our hope? Our hope is not in this world. This world is not your home. You're just passing through, as Peter says. Our home is eternal, and it is in the heavens, and it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Second point today is this. The difference between believing and not believing. There's a difference of hope and no hope, and then there's a difference between believing and not believing. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him, capitalized, those who sleep in Jesus. Let me read that again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. We have loved ones that has accepted Jesus and they're asleep with Jesus. Jesus has them now. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, faith brings hope. Let me say it again. Faith brings hope. If you don't have faith today, you don't have hope today. If you don't have hope today, you don't have faith today. To have hope is to have faith, not in yourself, but to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing good of you or me that's inside of me. Only what Jesus Christ has done for us and what Jesus has done on the tree over 2,000 years ago as He was crucified, everything was nailed to the tree that you and I may have victory on top of victory and that we would come to a saving grace to know that our sins are forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. Therefore, we can be believers and know that we have living hope in Christ Jesus because of what He has done. Give God praise in the house today. Listen, faith brings hope. To believe is to trust. In other words, it is for us to rely upon. We do not trust in ourselves. We do not wake up the next day and trust in our ideas and theories and opinions, and we don't trust it because we will let ourselves down. The Bible says for us to clearly guard our hearts. Our hearts can be very deceitful. Minds can be very deceitful. But we must understand that when we wake up every morning, we're waking up under the grace and the mercy and of the living hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's not you that's just walking, it's not you that's just existing, but it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified in your heart and life, because you have crucified the flesh and you are now allowing Jesus Christ to be resurrected in your heart and life, to live as a believer and trust as a believer and know that there is living hope in Christ Jesus. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More than just intellectual agreement. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You are confessing, you are believing, not in yourself, but you're believing in Christ Jesus that you have living hope, that should you leave this life, that you've asked Jesus before you leave this world, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you've repented from your sins and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life and save me. And the Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, He arose on the third day, that He's seated with the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It is that easy in accepting Jesus Christ to have that living hope. No hope apart from receiving Christ by faith. There's no doubt if He has become personal Savior to your life. There is no doubt. No doubts occur. No doubts if we have become what Jesus Christ is wanting us to be, and that He may be our personal Savior to your heart and to your life. There is a difference between believing and not believing. Jesus could not heal in His ministry. Through the New Testament, until one believed that He could. When one could believe that Jesus Christ could heal, and that one would believe that He is the healer, then that's when Jesus could begin to heal. We must believe when we call upon His name, and to know that it will not be you that will bring you to heaven. It will not be you alone that will pull you through the miry clay of all that you go through, but it will be the living Jesus Christ that will pull you through every circumstance of every situation. And it won't be just, well, whatever He feels like it, because Jesus loves us because we are His own. We are in the the palm of His hand. His protection is over us. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God, and God will continue to take care of us no matter what the way looks like, no matter what tomorrow looks like, no matter what next year looks like. Jesus is the same today and forever, and He fails not, and He will give us the victory on top of victory when we fully surrender to His Lordship. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Third, I want you to know today is this: the difference between the first and the second resurrection. Now, you may today never heard about a resurrection that's going to take place, but there one day will be a resurrection. There was a resurrection for our Lord and Savior over 2,000 years ago when He died on the cross and was placed in a tomb. A tomb that was supposedly supposed to be sealed and the Roman guards to guard, but apparently that didn't work out. And as we see through the passage of Scripture, we even see that when the resurrection day, the third day He rose, it looked like they scratched their heads and wanted to know, what did you do with Him? What did you do? Why did you allow the tomb to be rolled away? We sealed it. But there was a resurrection that day. Now I want you to know there's going to be another resurrection that's going to come. There's going to be a first and a second resurrection. And I want you to look at this with me, and I want you to see the difference. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Listen, one day, and I've said it and we'll say it again, you may not die a death. You may not be buried 6 foot under. We may live to see the coming of the Lord, because the Bible's got to be fulfilled. Because the Bible clearly says right here, the dead in Christ will rise first, and those which remain. So everybody's not going to be in the ground. So everybody, when we go to a cemetery, everybody's not going to be dead. There are people that are still going to be alive. And when Jesus Christ returns, the Bible says the graves will burst forth. People will scratch their heads wanting to know what in the world is going on with all these graves busting forth. But the Bible says not only will the graves burst forth, but those which remain that are in, that has living hope. Remember, we're talking about this, that has living hope. Because the Bible says, don't be like you don't have no hope, but you have hope in Christ Jesus. Those that have accepted, those that are around as the resurrection takes place, then it says, we which remain and alive will be caught up. In other words, we're going to be right behind them. Can you imagine that? Man, we've watched a lot of different movies with Iron Man and Superman and Batman and Spider-Man and all of this stuff. You talk about something coming to life. Can you imagine leaving from the gravity of this earth, leaving with those that had been in the grave, and we're right behind it? Because the Bible says there's going to be a shout with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. The dead will rise first, and those who are alive will remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always, always be with the Lord. What will happen when Jesus returns? The dead in Christ will rise. The archangel will blast the voice. They will be called up to meet him. Living believers will be called up right behind them. And all will have, guess what? We'll have new bodies. And the bodies are built by God. New bodies. No more pain. No more suffering. No more crying. No more tears. No more knee replacements. No more shoulder replacements. No more kidney works. No more pancreas works. No more lungs. We'll have a brand new body built by God. Let me go on here. 1 Corinthians 15 and 42 says this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. For the body is sown in corruption, it is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. And the last Adam became the life-giving spirit. However, the spirit is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. And right now you're bearing the earth of the old man, which is the Adamic nature. Adam, the first. Christ is the second. We're dealing with that now, but then guess what? The Bible says we're going to deal with the heavenly man. Our body is going to be changed. It's going to be built by God. This mortal body will take on immortality. Think about it. This body, this mortal body you got, will take on immortality. In other words, you won't have to think anymore. You have already thought it. If you want to be somewhere, you're there. It's totally now with a new body. Everything is brand spanking new. And of course, our minds can't even comprehend it. What have I said? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has in purpose for his own and the ones that he loves and is called according to his purpose. We will then be like Jesus. 1 John 3 and 2 says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. This is 1 John 3 and 2. But we know that when He, Jesus Christ, is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Can you imagine that? One day when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, when you see Him, and He splits that eastern sky, and when we see Him one day, you will be like Him. You just saw it. You just saw it in God's Word. That's hard to understand. That's hard to comprehend. I can't comprehend that I would be like Jesus. You can't comprehend that you would be like, you know why? Because we're living in a world with fallacy. We're living in a world with sin. We're living in a world with carnality. We're living in a world that it's hard to even begin to understand because of all the wickedness that we see and deal with every day. But one day, if you will hold on, God is faithful. And if you're faithful with God and continue to fight the good fight of faith, one day you will see Him. And when you see Him, you will be like Him. You will be changed. you'll be changed. This is the first resurrection. Revelations 20 and 6 says this, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. But here comes the second resurrection. 1,000 years later, one day when we accept, as you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart and life, and Jesus calls us home, the dead in Christ rise first, and we're right behind them, and we get up there at the marriage feast of the Lamb, and we're there with Jesus 1,000 years. The Bible says we will be in heaven, sitting at the table and eating, and 1,000 years later, and remember, the Bible says that 1,000 years is a day to God, and a day to God is 1,000 years. After that said and done, look at this, Revelations 20 and 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, when the 1,000 years is over, while we're in heaven, when the 1,000 years is over, has expired, Satan will be released from his prison. See, he'll be locked down while we're up there, but he's going to be released after 1,000 years. Listen, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. And they went out on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great," hallelujah, "standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the death were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. And then death and hell was cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now, to some today, you may read and may have never heard this before. You would think it's a fairy tale. And you would think, "Pastor, I've never heard nothing like that in my life. I've never heard anything like..." Folks, this is what the Word says. John was on the Isle of Patmos, and all this was revealed. God revealed this to him and said, "This will come." And folks, what I want you to understand today is today, while he may be found, we need to accept Jesus Christ into our hearts and life, because it is not going to look good to come through the second resurrection. We need to make it on the first resurrection, because if we wait around and for the second resurrection, the Bible clearly lets us know that the devil and all of his demons and everything that's against Christ is going in to the pits of hell, and it will be sealed. And I don't know about you, but hell is hot, and I don't want to go there. That's a place that I do not want to go, and it ought to be a place that you do not want to go, because it is forever and ever and ever. And we are reminded that resurrection for unbelievers will head to the lake of fire. The judgment of the great white throne, the second death that will come. I don't know about you, but I want to miss all of that. I just want to make it in the first resurrection. I want to make it in the first going. Faith in Christ makes the difference, folks. Faith in Christ makes the difference. He gives hope and assurance of heaven unto us. But as we know, the Bible's got to fulfill itself. As we know, it will come about. Listen, don't worry about what Susie Q's doing. Don't worry about what Johnny's doing. We need to be worried about what we're doing. You need to be worried about what you're doing. Because including this pastor, every one of us, we're all going to have to give an account unto God one day. And if somebody's wronged you, if somebody's done something against you, has put you down, has ridiculed you, they're going to have to answer to God one day with it. Whatever you've said, whatever you've done, you got to answer to everything to God. God is the one that will get the last say-so. Stand with me across the building today. God will get the last say-so on everything. Listen, there's not a surprise to God. God's not surprised about anything. God's not even surprised about what you do, whether you're right or wrong. Whether you do right or wrong, He's not surprised. Why? Because He knows that you are human. You're not robots. You're not AI. You have feelings. You have blood going through your veins. You have your heart's pumping. The lungs are breathing. Things are happening. Things are going on. These are things that we need to understand that God is mindful of. God knows and sees us. But guess what? God has given every one of us, even in this whole world, to make a choice to whether we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or whether we reject Him and don't want Him. He gives us a choice. He's not a God up in the heavens with a big billy bat trying to make you serve Him. He's not going to do that because that's not the God. God has given us a choice. He gave Adam and Eve a choice. It was Adam and Eve's choice whether they want to take the forbidden fruit. But Eve decided with a little cunning and craftiness of Satan and took of the fruit, and that's the choice that they live with, and that's a choice that we have to live with. But guess what? God sent His Son, His one and only Son, that we have a way of an escape. He died on the cross over 2,000 years ago that you and I could have life and have it more abundantly. Thank God He made a way. It is not the end. It is just the beginning when we have Christ Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. Every head bow and every eye closed. Let me pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank You, Lord,